Kathy Hapnin.
Hello, sir.
All right. Did you hear my show with Michael Weiser?
I did not. No. I'm sure it's wonderful, though.
Yeah, we kind of duked it out a little bit. You know, he's, of course, philosophically, well, we got to have some regulation, and I'm sure you'll play that game a little. We got to raise money to give to children or something. I mean, you know, I'm just, it's driving me nuts.
Talk about raising money to what? What are we giving what?
We got to have money, and you got to have a marijuana task force of them rule us and make sure you got the right number of plants so law enforcement gets their cut. You know?
Guess what? I have nothing to do with any of that. Nah. We're going to have a very interesting conversation.
All right. On 420, I get, you know, I'm going to, you know, yay, the government's going to let me have some marijuana. I'm free. You know, yay.
You know, you know, I'm a proponent of keeping people out of jail. I'm all about that.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
you know my spiel. We're going to go at it. All right, now
we're not going at it. We're having a nice conversation.
Which initiative are you promoting? Are any of them?
You know what? I'm supporting the one that will be on the ballot. And so whichever one that is, if it forwards the issue of cannabis and our
Can't both of them? Even the second one's got, you know, maybe enough signatures. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Number one, it's got not nearly enough signatures, and the plot to begin with was not to have enough signatures. They never thought they would. So, you know.
Well, number one, you got to tell me which one's which. I mean, you know, so, all right.
Well, we've got the campaign to regulate marijuana in Arizona, which is the campaign from the Marijuana Policy Project.
All right. We're coming on 5 seconds. Here we go.
Okay, sir.
Network. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here, and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, Kathy Immon. Now, Kathy, let's go ahead and do just a quickie interview, how we know each other for whatever.
Years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yes, sir.
You know, for a long time, we have known each other, and she was involved, director, head, whatever, of Arizona Normal, okay, the National Organization for Marijuana Laws, Arizona branch, and she's a big advocate for however we can get, you know, more freedom and less people go to jail for I got my card and don't throw me in and I inhaled, okay? Her and her daughter, both activists, you know, go and kick butt. In doing this, as the previous initiatives would pass and you have medical marijuana in dispensaries and it kind of gets down to where, you know, everybody's getting theirs legal, not whatever. It's not like a shortage of marijuana. So what happens is here we have you're dealing in the industry. You get to know different people and your daughter has a relationship with one of the, and I guess they're still together or married or whatever.
They were happily married with two beautiful children.
Whoa, score. Okay. So the gentleman that she winds up marrying was representative of the marijuana industry in some way, the distributors, the growers or something. And so they're, you guys all live together. So you are literally living with you know, the representative of the industry as opposed, and then people in normal, like, I don't care about the industry. I want to be able to grow my own plant. So there's a kind of a conflict of interest there. So you leave normal and go do your own thing, and mom's for we want marijuana or something. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So that was when the transition to the next guy that came in. Then from him went to Michael Weiser that we talked with on 420, okay, Wednesday, and about the initiative. So this is where I just want everybody to understand where we're at. Here is Kathy Inman that has a long history in Arizona activism as it relates and other things. I mean, you know, she's involved in kind of, you know, like peace is better. But she, her main thing, well, anybody who spoke to marijuana is all about peace. But they, one thing that happened is that she got very involved in the legislation. And it's, you know, what can we do to pass legislation? Then the negotiations start. You got marijuana policy project or public whatever, MPP, and Roy Campia and all these guys, and they want to do a national, and they get money. Well, we got to move the ball in the industry in support of something. So once you start getting in special interest, the rights of the individual kind of take second place to what we can pass. In the negotiations to pass something, what do? They start looking at, you know, dealing with law enforcement and legislators and government and RICO statutes, seizures, that kind of stuff. I think it's Nebraska, just a governor just signed a couple of days ago into law that in that state you cannot seize property in RICO seizures unless you have a conviction. Before it was just, yeah, we just take it. It's a U.S. versus $20,000 and we just took it. You know, $20,000 didn't have any rights, and it's ours now. Get over it. And you can spend $100,000 trying to get it back, but it's ours now. So when the law enforcement is making crap loads of money on this drug war, and you want to take that away from them, they're like, hey, where's our cut? Where's our revenue stream? What are we going to do? Then I hear that there's some marijuana task force thing that they're going to, you know, it's a job work program for, you know, drug warriors. And I'm going, okay, so that's the atmosphere that we're in. When people, they do in this negotiation, you know, people that are still languishing in jail for smoking a joint, what about them? Do we get them out? No, we didn't. The prison industrial complex wants to make sure they get their money, so we're not releasing them. Well, then people go, no, then we're doing our own initiative over here, and 6 plants to 12 plants, and release these guys. So there is two different initiatives, trains of thought, groups of people. Hopefully I kind of summed it up real quick, and the remaining half of this first segment, Kathy, help me out, fill in where I left out.
I'd be happy to, sir. You know, coming into this, I honestly was standing up for liberty, for consumer advocacy, because I looked in Arizona and I thought, you know, it's a felony to possess any amount of marijuana. We went over to California, people are standing around smoking like it's okay. Come back here, it's a felony to have a seed in your car, and then you can be locked up, you can be thrown in jail, you can be fined for just having the smallest amount of marijuana. This is going back, 9 years?
Well, okay? You still can in California, so, if you had the federal people saying so.
Oh, well, you know, the federal thing is a problem right now, and we've got to reschedule cannabis on a federal level. That's just, it's absurd that it's not rescheduled. It has medicinal value. We've proven that. It absolutely is the least addictive substance, the least dangerous of all substances, 114 times safer than all other drugs. Come on, people. That's the National Institutes of Health talking. So we've got to get realistic about this substance, and we are, on a national basis. It's coming out all over the news is every single day this stuff is safer. It's absolutely safer than alcohol that kills almost 2,000 college kids. They go off to college, and they drink themselves to death because they're partying, trying to have a good time. Well, if they had a little bit of a natural alternative that was non-toxic, couldn't kill them, it would certainly bring down deaths, wouldn't it? Yes, it has in Colorado, and it has in other states that have regulated.
Okay, even, time out,
it's
Kathy.
It's happened here. Now you told me to update you. Now,
you're talking the rhetoric of the PR, the
There's
people
no
that...
There's no rhetoric.
These issues... No, I get it, you know, but I don't care. You know, yeah, but it's better than... Don't care. It's my body. So I don't care.
May I say, I have to back up with your story. We're catching up, folks.
All right.
I've, number one, never been paid by anyone in the, to do with any campaign. I worked for Normal because, again, consumer advocacy. Normal is a 50-year-old institution where people get together. They don't make any money, but they get together and try and change marijuana laws. The basics of Normal, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is to move public opinion. So that's what I've been doing here in Arizona for 8 years. I'm not involved with any campaign, nor was I involved with any initiative process. Not one. I can't stand legislation. I can't stand politics. I can't stand the initiative process. I stay away from it. Don't like lawyers. Don't like any of that stuff. I don't need a lawyer, personally. I've never been in trouble. I was in trouble once. You know who my lawyer was? Keith Strzok, because he advised me to go into the federal building downtown and just tell them that, you know what, the five cookies that I possessed were my own. Yes, it's my first offense. And I paid, Ernie, I paid $1,000 for those five cookies because we had a voter registration thing on the Salt River 8 years ago. And they caught me with five cookies because they knew that we were out there standing up for cannabis. So they caught me, they fined me. I had to pay $1,000 and face 1 year in federal prison for having five cookies. Now that's injustice. So I'm standing here for injustice, not money. I'm paid by no one. I work for no one. I am my own nonprofit simply to educate people and move public opinion, number one, and to stop the reefer madness, and that's what I'm here for.
Okay, now let me go ahead and make, this is where we always have this discussion. I always want to make sure people know we have this, I don't know, friendly debate, is that we've worked together on a lot of things. We've allowed resources. We, you know, participate in a lot of the events. You know, we, you know, allowed you usage of, you know, our facilities sometimes. And we get, you know, we help each other. My thing is this public policy, opinion, relations, rhetoric that we go and we talk about are two different things. From my standpoint, is I don't care if marijuana is bad for me. That is not the point. I own myself. I determine. I decide what I want to smoke, inhale, ingest. I, me, my. That is the advocacy that I want. So all these other details, don't care. Now, what you're doing is you're going, no, we need to educate the people on the medicinal benefits of it, how much better it is than this other thing. We're talking about why we want to destroy lives for just, you know, all this other stuff Kathy goes into. But I want to see what kind of mindset are we getting from the people to advocate for freedom.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance.
So that's why, you know, the debate, I want to get into the actual verbiage on this legislation. Since you're not involved with the initiative process itself, you're an advocacy for, oh my goodness, we got to have better and medicinal, you know, whatever. See, all that, you go, and that's just not this show because, you know, we have those, you already got libertarian, hell, freaking anarchist. I mean, they're, you know, we get it, you know, but to do that is just not news. I don't really care. It's not even the argument I want to have. I want to know what the initiative actually does.
Sure, I got that too. I mean, it's not like I don't have that information. I just didn't work on it. Okay. I'm not part of the machine.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But Michael, his whole thing was he didn't really know the difference, or he wasn't willing to give me the differences between the two initiatives, other than to say that the people that did the 12-plant one were probably more principled, or they wanted more freedom, or more, and they saw the other one as too compromising. And I'm wondering what the compromises is.
And I'm going, I'm happy to get in. I'd love to get into that.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the one thing that I'm looking, I know from the beginning when we first started this process, you know, a couple of years ago, whenever you guys started to work on this, is that I knew that it's everybody wanted to, oh, we're bringing in the legislature, oh, we're bringing in the city council, oh, we want to get a coalition of the law enforcement, the Fed, everybody gets to have a say so that we don't have, you know, the gazillion-dollar opposition to we don't want it because we don't get to make money on the drug war. Well, where's our revenue stream? Then I find out there's some marijuana task force of, you know, if I'm growing my six plants of legal in the back, all of a sudden I got jurisdiction claimed by the state of task force, so we're looking at your backyard tomato plants, and I'm going, what? So I just need that explained to me in great detail.
Okay. I've got some of that. I'm sure Michael was able to get into it a little bit more, but I certainly have the main arguments.
You know what? His main thing, he really was pushing. I'm a teacher, and I know we got to have a regulated society, and I've been ripped off on my drug deals with people, and I need to have a government agency to make sure that I get my, you know, good. And, you know, how else am I going to determine, you know, the quality of the market? And I'm going, you don't buy from the bad guys.
The best thing is that we're going to grow our own, and that's getting their hands off of our health and our pocketbook.
Well, I'm wondering if that claim that gives them, heck, I got my aquadome here on the side, And I'd be more, you know, I just plant a couple, boom, done. I don't even have to do anything. It just grows.
That's it. You know, that's what I'm talking about, Ernie, right there.
But
that's
does that
freedom.
Give the government jurisdiction for them to, you know, come in and say, I see we got the lawn Nazis, your grass is too high, and look at there, we got a marijuana plant, and I got the jurisdiction initiative said, and I get to come inspect.
No, they're going to be looking at
it.
No,
we can talk about it.
Okay.
We can talk about it. But this is, you know, they say, you're free now to grow your plants.
No.
But it gives
them
and then you go in.
That.
Then you go into about the firearm thing. You want to be a distributor. You want to be a grower. You're outside the limit of you get to do it. And you can't have guns. You know, then you got, I mean, this stuff, there's always these unintended consequences.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
When
there
you
really is.
Compromise with these scumbags. And I don't want to play on that. That's why the rhetoric of this is safer and this is better and it helps. I don't care. I don't even care.
You don't care, but your listeners do, and they need to hear some of this stuff, Ernie. Just some of it.
I would have bet that they already know. But the thing is, you'll tell. You get to say your thing, but that is so way down on my give a crap list.
You want to shut me up? Just shut me up.
You're always pretty good. We're good. Here we go.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence. You know, Kathy Inman's going to help us. Going to help us. You know, it's all, you know, the rhetoric, blah, blah, and it's better for, and kind of, I don't care. You know, I know she cares. She thinks the audience cares, and you should know about how great and wonderful and the medicinal values of marijuana and everything, and it's not just about getting high. What if it is? What if I freaking don't care? It's a freaking weed! Oh, my God! This is just drives me nuts. So, now we're looking at the actual legislation, what it would do. Let's see if this is something we even want. Because keep in mind, Kathy, in the late 90s, was it 96, 98 when...
96.
You know, and what was the percentage? It was something stupid, like 76% in support or something.
In support of medical marijuana, yes.
And it, well,
right now we have like 88% support.
No, that was marijuana. I don't remember it being medical. It was It was.
It was initially a medical marijuana, just like California.
Well, then they passed it, and the legislature went, you know, we don't care. We change it, and it doesn't matter. So then that changed a bunch of stuff. But we were, as the Libertarian Party, as county chairman, we did in the publicity pamphlet, all the Libertarian candidates were against it. We go, this is way too, you know, restrict, way too regular, way too institutionalized of the man kind of, hell no, this is not a freedom thing. We're against it. Now, of course, we knew Jeff Singer and Sperling and all these guys doing it. We're all laughing up our sleeve, you know, behind the closed doors because we're all friends and knew it made them look more moderate. All of a sudden, they give we're not crazy like those Libertarians over there. And we were given the principled argument of why this was wrong. I need the details on these initiatives. Why are there two? Who did the second one? Which one's being funded? How close are they? How close are both of them? So I'm going, what are the issues in the compromise that was made with the government man in order to get the coalition or whatever to put the main one on go?
Okay. First of all, Michael was involved with the coalition. He spoke to yesterday. And I'm sure you guys got into a little bit. I wasn't involved in the coalition, but what I do know is to be able to tell the people what happened with these two. Number one, there were two initiatives about this time last year. Not completely different ones. There was a coalition of the business folks, and the business folks actually split in two because there are many of the business people did not want what we got in this current initiative that you will see on the ballot, and that is to be able to grow your own. When you can grow your own marijuana, you're taking your health and your freedom into your own hands, and the government is out. Now, this is the beautiful part. So what happened is, yes, that got into the initiative that will be on the ballot. There was a number of other people that, hey, that just wasn't enough for them. They also needed, I think, 8 ounces. Currently, the one that you'll see on the ballot is that you're able to carry up to 1 ounce outside of your home. Whatever you have at your house, it doesn't matter. It's what you're traveling with. Now, they don't want you traveling with more than 1 ounce, and you're allowed to grow 6 plants at your home, 12 per household. So if you and your spouse are both, you don't have to have a medical card. You don't have to sign a list. You don't have to do anything. You're just able to grow 6 plants per person, as that's part of our new way in Arizona. To me, it's a beautiful way.
How is that regulated?
For private grow, there's no regulation. Now, if there is a neighbor that complains because they are smelling too much, they looked over maybe the wall and they saw that there's way more than 6 plants growing wild in the backyard.
Or they just bitch.
Pardon?
They just bitch. It's like homeowner association. His lawn's too high.
Absolutely. Now, Ernie, you know this goes on anyway. So now we have just another element of homeowner association, kind of, you know, the BS that we go through there. However, you know, hey, it's legal marijuana plants now. And how wonderful is that to me? After all of these years of prohibition, we've been living under 80 years of prohibition. I'm good with that. I'm excited to grow.
Okay,
let me tell you
my concern. I need to know. Nobody's given me the details on this. Listen to the question. My question is this. The fact that I even have one marijuana plant in my yard, is that justification in some way for some guy with a shiny badge and a gun to come on my property? Yes or freaking no?
I don't believe no. I say no. Now, here's the difference, because we're living in a new world. This is a new kind of evolution. It's all new to everyone. Number one, if every single one of us can grow our own plants, how busy will they be going yard to yard inspecting all
these
yards?
They do selective enforcement. They go where the hell they want.
Number one, people need to get, it's still America. They still need to get a warrant to look at anything.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be. What's going to be, just like you've seen since Prop 203 passed, now we've got an infinite amount more freedom with marijuana in Arizona. You got to admit that.
You know, there's more marijuana. Like, it didn't bother me because I didn't care anyway. You know, I didn't.
I know, and there's a lot of us that didn't care. There's people who've been growing in Arizona. That's the big secret, and that's why I tell people like Montgomery, who's the biggest in charge of Reefer Madness for Arizona right now. This guy's out there. He will say anything. That's what we're fighting, honestly. But the initiative, getting back to the initiative, the big difference now between the two initiatives that are out there, people are saying there's two initiatives now. Well, number one, that second initiative, you're not going to see on the ballot. They don't have enough signatures, and they came into it saying, we're probably not going to get enough signatures, but we're going to do it to try and derail legalization, because honestly, it's headed by a pack of folks that have been dealing for years and decades. They've been dealing marijuana. They're pissed off that there will be legal stores. They don't want legal stores because it's going to break their business.
Okay, let me make this one other observation on this that I didn't know until this got passed before. One, it's kind of like, okay, if you're growing, you can grow as long as you're 25 miles or something from the nearest dispensary outside in the middle of the desert or whatever. So they go and they start growing out in Tonopah or out in, you know, Young or out in Maricopa, wherever. They're out there, they're growing. Then one guy, the people come, he's going to do a deal or something, and they try and rob him. He defends himself with a gun. They go, whoa, 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 whoa. And there's some provision. You're not allowed to have, you know, do anything with marijuana. You got to give up your Second Amendment right to be able to grow plant. We go, what? Okay, so that becomes an issue. The other thing
was
that the distributors, when you do a distributor where you go and you buy the marijuana, the way the law was, it was like for Pfizer or pharmaceutical industry or something, you had to have not just the facility where you distributed it, you had to own the supply chain. You had to have your own grow, your own this, your own that. And I'm going, what the hell is that? So now we're looking at, it was way more regulated and not freedom-oriented. No, regulated, just like alcohol, as if that was a good thing. You know, so I'm going, no. So this, what does it do to that? Does it eliminate the dispensaries can, you know, get their marijuana from wherever they want, like they're showing up with it in California? You know, the guy goes, hey, man, I got a basement full. Here it is. You know, knock yourself out. You know, so I little details of, are we really going to be free? Or is it another tentacle into our lives that invites the guns and badges onto my property with excuse number 483?
If you want to move.
In my opinion. So this is
your opinion.
I need to know. Well, I guarantee it's going to be their opinion. Okay, this is what I know. That when they first did the concealed carry permitting system, we're going, no freaking permits, because I can tell you what's going to happen. Sure as shit. The second they stop somebody in a freeway pullover, the first thing they did, he has a concealed carry. Well, they come out with guns drawn and hut, get go, gop, because he's on the list. Well, I'm going, yep, what do you think is going to happen to the marijuana thing? Same thing. You know, they see whatever's on there, whether they say they do or not. So I'm going, yep, it's just another list. So now, if they're, I can grow six plants and just do whatever I want, am I on a list? No, you're not. But it's just
no list.
But it's justification for them to come on your freaking property.
But Ernie, if everybody's
Ernie
growing, they don't have time to go door to door when there's 50% of
God
us growing pot in their backyard.
God, who do you think you're talking to? They will definitely go on the property using it as a justification for the people that they want.
The only people that they're going to do this to are the people that are doing too much. They're out there, they got their whole yard full of pot, and they're impeding on somebody else's freedom because they're their neighbors. You've got to understand that there are some idiots out there that definitely mess with their neighbors because they overdo. They will grow too much, and they'll try and
sell
it.
That is not what I'm worried about. I tell you what I'm worried about.
It's not going
to
be you.
I tell you, okay, let me give you an example. I just to throw this up so you see from my perspective.
Gotcha.
Early March, the FBI is discovered taking over a BitTorrent Tor thing of child pornography or whatever. Well, they keep serving up child pornography. They're trying to entrap or whatever the hell they're doing. So for weeks, they're serving this up. The owners of this network have a show called Free Talk Live on 170 stations around the country. They call out the FBI and they say, you child pornography and distributing scumbag pieces of crap. Boom! They raid their studio, took all their computers, and go, yeah, what do you think now? We say you've been doing it because we say, and we got a complaint of we targeted you guys. Did they do anything? It doesn't matter. Then I got, just a few weeks ago, we're in negotiations right now. I talked to DJ Quinn, or whatever his name, the former Arizona executive director for Democrat Party guy. They are busting ass, working, raising money. It's going to be hundreds of thousands of we ain't doing it unless and what to get libertarians on against John McCain. And they're working on congressional districts, too. You know, me and a bunch of that long list. You know, Charles Goyette, Judge Buttrick, Mark Victor, Frank Gambury. I mean, it's just Paul Gamble. I mean, you know, we're going to flood them Republicans trying to keep the libertarians off when we need them because it benefits them. Now, we're going to take care of business because what they do. Last election cycle, they spent $500,000 on an initiative to keep us up. Well, they didn't want the people to vote on it, and three-quarter from the legislature be able to change it, so they pulled that legislation, libertarians on again. This time, we're going to have some fun. I do that, and I guarantee you the McCain machine, Ernie, yeah, he says he smoked marijuana, boom, I got a gendarme in my yard looking at my plants. Selective enforcement. And to say that that doesn't happen is to be naive or dishonest.
Well, I know that I've gone 8 years without being messed with personally, you know, after all the stuff that I did. Bill Montgomery sent me, I've been tweeting with Bill Montgomery for like a year and a half. We go back and forth. He finally blocked me. Why? Because I called him out for taking alcohol money. And he said, and that's when he finally said, I said, shame on you, Montgomery, for taking this alcohol money while kids die. And he just, that's it, done.
No, him and Mark Victor have been going at it. I mean, he actually got debate today. Well, we have us a discussion. So we're in the middle of this thing. But this is, all right, we'll get into details of legislation. Here we go. That's for the archive.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Brother, brother, brother. to escalate.
Crying. Well, that's what we got. We got momforceaz.org. momforceaz.org. Kathy Emmons. You know, what does your organization stand for?
Well, basically, it's really educating the public and urging them to stand up for themselves.
Right? No, I mean the acronym. Mom says...
Oh, well, it's kind of a play on MatForce, honestly, because MatForce is the anti-marijuana gig up there in Prescott, headed by Sheila Polk, Yavapai County Attorney, who's just as bad as our county attorney here in Maricopa, Bill Montgomery. You know, they just basically, it's all about the reefer madness and keeping the bad information out there about marijuana so folks don't vote for it.
Well,
that's what they're in charge of. So Matt Force, meet Mom Force, and they have many times.
Okay, what was it? Matt Force, M-A-T?
Yes, Matt Force. Okay. And, you know,
Mom
they do
Force,
a lot.
A-D,
they do
better, some. Yay! What does Mom stand for? Mom's organizing for marijuana or something? I mean, what does it mean?
There's no acronym there.
Okay,
it's
so it's just Mom Force, A-Z. All right.
And, you know, moms, and you know, some men like to say, you know, like Don Rehm, who stood up against Bill Montgomery, and he ended up calling him a enemy for using marijuana. That fellow says he's a man on a mission. So he's helped with Mom Force as well.
Oh, you're talking about the veteran that time?
Yes.
Yeah, this is where Mark Victor got involved in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
He had debated him and gone, you know, Bill Montgomery and slap around and ouch, quit it and whatever. Well, Montgomery is, you know, Christian right of tank commander, a kick-ass and constitution law says we're going, you know, kick some butt. Well, there was a gentleman at an open presentation.
Ernie, this is my friend Don I'm talking about. That's Don Rehm. That's the fellow that works with me at Mom Force in Sun City, and he's done many things around the state with us. He's an amazing gentleman. And
let's tell the story. What happened is that Bill Montgomery was talking. He got up and said, I'm a veteran, you know, Vietnam. I'm, you know, with your brother and kind of in arms, brothers and whatever. I smoke marijuana. It benefits me. It's been very good to me. Bill Montgomery goes, you're a traitor to the Constitution. You're a veteran. You should know better. Go down. You're scum. Well, man, he just jumped on him and everybody went, what the hell was that? Well, there was a big, giant backlash, and Bill Montgomery was getting flooded, and there was going to be a recall. I mean, he had to nip it in the bud. So he calls his buddy, Mark J. Victor, the anarchist libertarian, and says, hey, man, you got to bail me out here. What the hell we got to do? So Mark had a meeting in his law offices with your friend and Bill Montgomery. They came out, buried the hatchet, and we're all good and nothing to see here and move along.
You know what's funny about this whole thing, though, Ernie, honestly, how that originated? Was that we were tweeting, Bill Montgomery and I, back in January, and I had challenged him to an open public discussion with he and I sitting on a stage talking about marijuana back and forth. And he had no other debate scheduled there in January, and Mark wanted to be a part of the debate I had scheduled. And then suddenly, you know, Bill Montgomery had set up two other debates at two Republican venues so he could get I don't know, maybe he could get a little friendship going into the debate he had with me at the end of March last year. Well, he wasn't able to come to that, which he then called a debate. I called it an open discussion. I was going to rent the Higley Center for the Arts, which would have been a very beautiful venue. Instead, he chose to take these two debates, and he got squashed by a gentleman who stood up and admitted his recreational use. And, you know, he turned around, and he stepped right in that, because there's probably over half of the population uses this, and they just came back and lashed out at him. And that's what Bill Montgomery should understand, is that there are so many good Arizonans out there that use marijuana and have for decades.
Well, he's starting to get it now. I mean, he's, you know, the finger in the wind guy, politician. He's like, damn, I'm going to have to, you know, redo my rhetoric. Even when you got the senior citizens and the Republican of the Sun City and they're freaking put down the vodka and are getting high now, you know?
No, he was quiet for about 6 months and I left him alone, and then he started rearing his head. Now, he's been out there and he's been with not public debates, but with J.P. Holyoke, the chairman of the campaign to regulate marijuana in Arizona. That gentleman is a dispensary owner. He has a little girl who gets the seizures, so she has been helped by this medicine. And he has absolutely whomped him in every single debate. They are private. You have to pay to get into them. You can't see them. They will not film them. I tried to film when I was in the Federalist Society one. They would not allow me to film it.
No, I filmed it. I have it.
Which one?
The Federalist Society at ASU between Mark and Bill.
No, Mark and Bill is a done subject. That was many years ago. I'm talking about this year with J.P. Holyoke, the chairman of the current campaign. And they have had these behind-the-doors debates where Bill gets whumped every time. He was laughed at the Federalist Society. And basically, I just ignored him while I was there. Well, he starts tweeting. I started tweeting with him because I'm annoyed with him. I'm annoyed with the misinformation that he's got out there in the Arizona Republic almost weekly. Now he's pointing to marijuana as the cause for the heroin epidemic we have, when I have a statement in print that I've been putting everywhere, like a poster, that he says our painkillers are what's led to the heroin epidemic. Now, he says that in plain print, and now he's out there because he's taking big alcohol money. He's now saying that this is something that has come from marijuana. So, go figure. You know, I'd just like to see an honest politician.
Well, they'll take alcohol money. That's okay, and it kills 50 gazillion babies.
Exactly. And speaking of honest politicians, I have to say, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, when it comes to cannabis, he stood up with us last October, and he said this is a medicine. A doctor should be able to write a prescription for it. He won't stand up for legalization. But you know what? We're talking with him, and he's willing to talk with us.
Joe's a populist. Joe is freaking putting the finger in the wind of what's the poll number of Joe. Man, don't ever. I know Joe well. I know he's, you know, but at least he's that smart where you got a demagogue like Bill Montgomery that, you know, he'll just bluster over and doing himself damage and not care, you know, until he does.
He'll hold to his religious, like it's a religious thing. Now, if you look at religion,
thing with him.
What about our bodies and healing? And he stands up for alcohol.
Yeah, he doesn't.
It's outrageous.
He didn't read that scripture. Okay, now what I want to, you know, before we got another segment, but you know, in the last couple of minutes of this one, give me some of the main highlight provisions of the initiative. What can we expect? You know, forget about what it changes now. I mean, at the end of this vote, should it pass, we have what now? What would be different?
Okay, what would be different? Number one in my head, as you know, is that we can grow 6 plants per person.
Okay, boom. Next.
That right there, to me, is freedom. At least there are other people that want to grow a whole lot more plants.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's pissing off a lot of the industry. They don't want you to legally be able to just do and bite me.
No, sir. They want to have if they really wanted to have a grapple hold on that, they would not have allowed grow, and that would have been a big deal. But fortunately, people like Michael Weiser got in there and fought for grow, and we got it. So that's number one. Number two, if you're traveling around, you can carry that ounce and not have to have a medical card, not to pay that fee every $300 a year. Plus, you're on a government list to be a medical marijuana patient, which some people will put in quotes because they don't believe they're actually using it medically. I believe it's always medical, but we won't get into that.
Unrestricted concealed carry of my marijuana. Got it.
That's it. So we can travel around with that ounce. We can go to a party. We can bring some with us.
With a gun?
You know, here's the thing about the gun. Now, we'll go back to the
gun. Hey, I'm unrestricted concealed carry my gun in one pocket. Can I unrestricted concealed carry my marijuana in the other pocket?
There's many fellows who believe and have been long time. They're Americans. They are gun collectors. And, you know, they have guns. Now, if you had guns, that's one thing. You still can have your guns. But if you go to buy one, I understand now it's a problem. Now, that, for me, is a problem when you can walk into a bar with a gun or, you know, and you can go have all alcohol with guns and you get crazy with alcohol.
Okay, so in this initiative, the possession of marijuana in a gun is not allowed.
I don't know that that's mentioned in the initiative.
Okay.
That detail I do not know.
I'm wondering. That kind of surprised us later when they did the last one.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, the one thing that I, you know, so you understand my concern, when they did unrestricted concealed carry and they wanted to call it constitutional carry, and I never let them get away with that. I'm going, no, this is not constitutional carry. Constitutional carry is, I carry, you don't get to say. Well, to get it passed, what did they have in there? There's a provision that says, when you come in contact with law enforcement, you're required to tell them that you have a gun. And even when you're not stopped, arrested, not suspected of anything, the officer, in a traffic stop, they take the gun from you, and they record it, and kind of doing the project lead of this serial number of kind of, we got gun, and they take possession. I'm like, what the hell is that? Don't tell me it's constitutional when a law enforcement can take my gun while I got, because they can. So I'm looking at, in this marijuana thing, they always got a hit in there somewhere or something, that there's some kind of jurisdiction if they get the whatever. Well, are they going to enforce federal law? A firearm with marijuana, they go out and hut, and throw you in the back of the car. So these are the kind of things that I look at. Is it really freedom? Well, they go, we were willing to give up all that. And I go, we don't care as long as we get to grow our six plants.
No, I get you. I don't like the gun marijuana thing. I'm not an owner of a gun. But I honestly, you know, I don't think that freedom should be taken away because there's marijuana around. I mean, they also want to infringe on a woman's right, you know, to have marijuana. I think they just passed something about.
You're going in and out on your phone. Can you stay up close or something? There's something, you're going real low and high and low and high.
Sorry. Is that a little bit better?
Well, it's just where the microphone. Are you using a headset or something?
I'm not. I'm using a regular. Yeah, it's not on speaker.
All right.
Sorry.
No,
I hope it's okay.
Yeah, I'll edit it. Okay, so there some of the other provisions in this. Like, how long is the initiative itself?
I think it's 15 pages.
Why? I mean, what?
Because
what does
of
it
all
have?
The details. I mean, they have to attach it to the back of the petition, and I believe there's 15 pages attached. Honestly, the one that's not going to be on the ballot is like twice as long. You know, they just keep throwing things in. These folks, from the start, have said this is probably not going to get on the ballot, but we'll just fight. And they're going to...
We do it. If it takes more than one page or a paragraph, it's always too much. I mean, I've done, 40, 50 initiatives over the years just to say, here, we did 36 and 94. I'm going, look, it's real simple. Thou shalt not regulate anything that goes into my body as long as I'm the one doing it. Kind of, you know, peace out, and you're free, and I'm going golfing. I mean, done. But they don't want
to
do
that.
That's
right. Yeah, I would love to see that. That would be beautiful.
Here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Positive view of we're getting moving the ball forward, you know, and I'm going, you know, I'm like, yay, okay, so how forward, you know, I would be much more supportive of everybody knowing that the issue is really it's my body and it lose or it never go up or all that other stuff follows that. When you get to the idea, they're going, yeah, we need, like, you know, Michael Weiser. You know, he's like, you know, no, I'm a progressive whatever. I think there needs to be government regulation of all the regulation of regulation. Without the government regulation, you know, who's going to, you know, cure when I got a problem with I got a bad drug deal or something. I mean, I'm like, wow, this is it. That philosophy right there is how we got to this problem right now. It's not a principle. It's just rule by whoever gets to lobby the law and afford the initiative. So I'm going 15 pages of you're free. I need 15 pages to tell me, hell, the Declaration of Independence, one freaking page. You know, so I'm going, this is, it's amazing to me. So what industry is got served on here? Well, we know the law enforcement got served. They got what they wanted. What'd they get that they wanted? What'd they want?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, I tried to explain to Sheriff Joe that what they're going to get out of this is less hassle because they're going to spend less money on law enforcement, you know, hassling people that are basically a nonviolent, well, they are a nonviolent offender. These are people that are using marijuana shouldn't be just thrown away. I mean, it's number one, if they have some kind of addiction problem where it's a 1-2, I love the 1-2-3 offense and then throw them away too. Third time's the charm is ridiculous. If you got somebody that's addicted to a drug, you know, be it whatever drug, you don't just throw them in prison. I mean, this is the trouble that we've got. That's why our prison population is greater than any place on the planet. And it outweighs our population enormously.
See, we go on about Portugal and the Netherlands and Uruguay and around the world, and it's better and freedom's the answer was the question. I mean, you know, I get that. I'm looking at the initiative. What in the end, it's going to be January. It takes effect or whenever it does. I'm looking at what? I'm going to be, you know, free except for how's the industry affected by this new initiative? Are they able to get their marijuana from anywhere? Is it being tracked? They have to keep continuing to have their own supply chain. Do they have, I mean, you know, what's the changes in my life in the industry?
There's actually, you know, as you said, your life isn't going to change at all. If you're in the marijuana industry, yes, there are regulations. There's a bunch of regulations just like with any product. If you open a bar, there's going to be regulations on your output, how much you're allowed to, you know, do whatever they do. So there's regulations on the marijuana shop. Just like there are in Colorado. Unfortunately, we've had that experiment of Colorado that we can kind of reflect to. And, you know, it's just the enormous tax revenue. Why have the money in the hands of people that, honestly, for the most part in our history, have been south of the border, and we've had all these border crossings, and people are shooting each other, and there's all these things going on. For law enforcement, what they get, honestly, is less drug trafficking. They've got the businessmen using, giving folks the marijuana that honestly they're looking for and have been looking for decades. But we've had to go on the street, and honestly, where our kids are also given a choice of other drugs. So in other states where it's regulated, the other drug use is coming down, which is beautiful. And it's not like the marijuana use is going up for kids. They're getting the education they need. They're drinking less. And they're just kind of using the same amount of marijuana that they've always used. In Denver, yeah, it's going up. As a state, marijuana use is going up, of course, because it's legal. Alcohol use is coming down a little bit.
You know, this is
it all levels off.
I went to the Arizona League of Cities and Towns convention at Star Pass in Tucson. They're a really nice resort they have because, of course, well. There's a few days of just every elected politician for every municipality, and yay, we finally got the last municipal corporation in Arizona to join the league of We Rule You. And they had attorney's law firm that represents the league, and you know, use them to resource out to different communities how we're going to do a bond. And they were talking about marijuana legalization and all the stuff that and the bad things that happen and whatever in Colorado. Oh, look, this one kid ate too much. And
it's just
and
this so guy, frustrating.
I mean, they really had to stretch it. And it was just, I'm sitting there in the front row, you know, taking pictures of their PowerPoint and
we
did a report on it. But this is what happened. Towards the end of the presentation, and it was really weak, it was BS, but towards the end of the presentation, they go, but here's the revenue stream. And they started throwing up tens of millions of dollar numbers up there, and all these little communities went, whoa, 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 whoa. We got some open land they can be doing, kind of building and growing and doing, well, how do we get
That's
a cut
right.
of that money?
That's American ingenuity, you know, and entrepreneurship at work. And, you know, why not? We've got this billion-dollar crop we were supposed to be given in the 30s. Why shouldn't America be working that? We should be working this, trading this, and as we go forward, we can get these other laws changed that we don't like so much, things about guns. We fight for that, but we fight together with people that are pro-cannabis. That's what we need to do. Because there's so many issues along the way that we do need to fight.
But you don't have fertile ground to win the fight if the argument is about how much more it makes me, you know, calm if I sleep. That's not the battle. Then they just come back with another, no, it does this, and these people die and kill. And I'm going, you know, none of that matters to me. Is it my body or not? Next.
I know, and I wish it were that simple.
It is that
quite
simple.
Honestly. Our nation has gone astray, so we need to lead it back in.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we're doing.
It is that simple.
Public opinion.
It is that simple. You're not going to ever get me
great,
off of this,
Ernie. Just so you know, I'm all about.
No, I know. We compliment each other, but I tell you, that's what I was trying to tell Michael. I go, man, I make you guys look moderate. We did in the 90s when this happened. Why do you think it got 76%? It was because, hey, they were the moderate. You don't know, crazy people like, you know, giving, you know, microdot LSD and AK-47s to infants in the hospital. I mean, you know, we're not that bad. I mean, you know, that kind of crap. But the, you know, the thing that I'm looking at is in this legislation, 15 pages, when this gets done, there is going to be an enormous drop in seizure and revenue and drug warrior and whatever. How do you get law enforcement on your... What was the trade-off to them? What was the selling point?
You know, honestly, because I wasn't involved, I don't know exactly if there was some kind of, here, we can do this.
Well, what's this marijuana task force thing?
The task force, I don't honestly know a lot about it. All I know is that it will be a collaboration of people that are aimed at solving problems related to marijuana, which, you know, occasionally there are some. It's like the alcohol firearms task force. It's the same thing. It's just that it's pointed at cannabis, and hopefully it'll be people that are educated in cannabis so that they can approach this correctly, because our law enforcement has never been properly educated about cannabis, and that's why we've had the trouble we've had.
Oh, hell, they're probably researchers themselves. They don't get whatever.
They hate it, Ernie. You come across some of them, and they understand because somebody's taken it medically and they now understand it. But the other ones that have never been exposed to it hate it like it's a plague on our society. So
okay,
we need
now,
to bring these folks over.
Nebraska, I think it was Nebraska, Oklahoma, I think it was Nebraska. They just, a few days ago, the governor signed into legislation that you cannot do asset forfeiture, seizures, RICO, take all your money and goodies without a conviction. Have you heard about that?
I honestly didn't, but, you know.
Oh, go tell. That's a wave.
That sounds actually really great.
It is great. It's a big, giant wave.
Yeah. Thank goodness. That's progress.
Yeah. I vote that if somebody made me vote, you know.
Well, you better vote this year.
Oh,
vote for cannabis.
Like I trust a freaking computers anyway. Seriously?
For the first time.
Seriously? I haven't voted since 2002. It doesn't stop me from running, though. You know, we're having some fun.
My husband voted for the first time in 2003. Now, come on, vote for freedom.
I am voting for freedom by
voting.
Yeah, by making sure it counts. You know,
I can't vote for president.
The last time I voted, you know, I didn't in 2002. It was 2008 during you know, the general election, and of course we were, you know, supporting Ron Paul. Well, I went in and I made this big sheet of paper, and I had Ron Paul on it and my voter registration, and I signed it, and I went in, and I go in, I go, yeah, that's me right there here, and I dropped it down on the table, you know, didn't even take the ballot, and I just walked out. As I'm walking out, they yell after me, it doesn't count! I go, yes, it does. It just counted. I counted it. Like, I give a crap about what you guys say, you know? So that's why we Kathy and I, for years, have overlapped on this stuff by having this exact conversation here, and she does not break ranks. Her thing is, nope, if it gives me more freedom, then I don't have to go to jail, and less likelihood if I get to smoke and it be legal and with a card, without a card, a plan, and not, you know, she's like, amen, freedom! And I'm like,
freedom!
And I'm like, yeah, if it's, you know, it's a regulated, pieced out, King says, longer chain of a gilded cage with a little bit more velvet in my birdcage, you know, kind of, that doesn't do it for me, you know. But I see these initiatives and what Kathy does at momforceaz.org as a result of people just wanting to be left alone. And Arizona, always the epicenter. There's a reason why. Because of people like Kathy and us.
The Free State.
Boom. There.
Boom.
I got to say what I wanted. Damn it.
I'm glad.
Well, I need
me
I guess,
too. Thank you.
I guess I'm going to have to, you know, I'm just lazy. I'm hoping you guys to do it. But whenever I do these initiatives, I'm going to have an opinion. I got to go through line by line. And I know it's just going to piss me off, especially 15 pages. I guarantee
it. Yeah, and the heart rate just starts to climb. That's why I don't read them. I just don't read them. I'm just like, freedom? Okay. I won't read them.
It's
but
not,
if it's freedom, if they tell me it's freedom, I'm in there.
Yeah. They tell you. Yeah. That's the ticket. You know. So I'm. Damn it. I'm gonna have to go
we
through.
We've got
it.
More freedom than we did a few years ago for marijuana. From 2010 to now, we've got marijuana everywhere. It's great.
You know, I'm telling you, it never affected one itty bit of how much and when and if I ever inhaled. I mean, I just.
Did you ever get a card?
No, hell no.
I got one for a year. I had a card. I'm done. I experienced it. I wanted to go. I actually had a job at a dispensary for 3 months. That's all I could take. So, and that was it. But I had the experience, so I could talk about it. So.
You know, I have a lot of guys, I don't want to give their names, but we had enough doctors and friends and everybody to get their card and you kind of done. But my thing was, is I'm going, you know, I didn't get the concealed carry card either because I knew it was an infringement on a bunch of freedoms and why the best you know this might apply to you the best reason I got from someone it was Michael Kilsky, the state chair of the Libertarian Party, and he's an attorney and a uber
is
computer
he the
geek
state
guy.
Chair of the Libertarian Party right now?
Yeah,
I did not know this.
Yeah, he went
I
back.
I'd just rather him be, you know, county attorney, but whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, he's going done. For that too. He's trying to get signature, whatever. So yeah, he's big on drug freedom and stuff too, but from a principled standpoint, on this little nitpicky crap. But
well, he's just like you, he's firm on staying with his principles. I like that. I do. I admire that.
It's easier. Or lazy. I go, does it violate the life, liberty, and property of a single individual? Veto. I mean, it's not that hard, okay? So anyway, what was the point I was going to make about the initiative of the guns candidates? So
you wouldn't get your concealed carry.
Oh, yeah. So Michael comes to me and he says, I got the best reason why I got the concealed carry permit. And I go, all right, pray tell. Tell me everything. When you go and get a firearm, they always want to do a background check. It goes to the FBI. Look, you got another one. Well, if you do it one, you get the concealed carry permit. That card is the check. So they don't have to call the FBI. They don't have to go through the background. They don't have to. So he goes, yeah, they know I got the card. They know I'm a gunny guy, but they don't know how many guns I got unless they go get all their forms of, you know, from the dealer or the yellow sheet or whatever. But he goes, I just go in, I get gun, as many as I want a gun, and they don't background check, I got a gun. And I go, okay, well, there's that. But that's the only benefit that I could even see anywhere of that being, cool or not. So I'm going, nah, I'm not willing to get it because I just knew it's on a list. It's all the crap. And when you're being pulled over and they see it and it pops up, and that became a big issue. And we warned people that was going to, then you got to get renewal and then it's more money. And they got, it's just a revenue stream of freaking BS. And I go, nope, not doing it. Well, you won't be able to carry concealed. I go, really? Watch me. So the thing is that then we get to where it became a political issue. We kept hammering on safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. You can't talk to our group unless you have a color photograph of you carrying a black, detachable magazine pistol grip gun. Take that picture. Then you get the talk. Well, the equivalent for you guys would be like, I don't know, here, take a drag. Then you get the talk, okay? So, or hold up a gun in a bag of your whole bag of marijuana. At least do something. I mean, so I'm just at least hold it or something like that. I probably don't have to smoke, but so I'm just going, this is why I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't sanction this process of willingly giving up rights. So with the marijuana thing, when they came out with the card, hey Ernie, you'll be able to get in the gun. Going, nah, well, you could be arrested. I go, yeah, I'm willing to take that risk.
I waited a year and a half. It was a year and a half. I got a gift certificate to go and get the certification done for free. Actually, my son-in-law gave me that for Christmas a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'll give up my rights for free.
And I was now I have to get a card. And I went, and it was like kicking and screaming. I went to the last minute. It was the last day that I was going to lose $150 if I didn't use it. And finally, I went in there, and I just kicking and screaming got it for a year, and I would never sign up again.
Yeah, but what was your experience in doing that? I mean, there's so much form and background.
I felt a little sick.
Crap.
I mean, It was very easy, but I felt sick, you know, because, like, I didn't feel sick, and here I am signing up and saying I'm a patient, and that made me feel like I'm going to bring something on myself.
Yeah, really, see, it's because you had Ernie on your shoulder going na-na-na-na-na the whole time. That's what was happening.
we got to stay in check. Thank you for that, Ernie.
Well, this is, I can see the same kind of, see, my win is not, you know, we got this initiative passed and the people wanted and overwhelming. It was, you know, 51.2% or 60 or 70 or 80. I don't care. I don't trust the numbers anyway.
And I thought it'd be a big win.
Well, a lot of these have been really close and it goes the other way. And then people start bidding. And I go, and then they're in the back room. It's like the Iowa straw poll. They go, OK, we'll let them be a little. We'll let them have it because they're going to freaking
4,000 votes. It's ridiculous. We cannot have it be that close. If it's that close, we're going to have
who
the same
says
bullshit.
It was that close, Kathy? I don't trust it. It was bullshit.
I don't trust it either.
They
no, you're
wanted
right.
To
so why did they even give it to us?
They
then?
Wanted to, because they wanted to see what kind of upper, what kind of blowback they were going to have, if they could get away with it. If they thought they could have got away with it, that initiative would have lost.
I believe it.
I mean, this is, it's just a game.
It
so so my game is not, I call BS on the whole game. I am not playing your game. I want them to be in the situation, oh my God, we got to pass it so that we can have some revenue stream, so that we can have some kind of control, so that we can have some kind of, you know, magic carpet ride in the office of kind of the people are gonna, we're gonna do that because the public's opinion is so overwhelmingly, are you freaking kidding me? That's when the change happens. So I always deal in the realm of public opinion and the how do you unlearn the truth? The truth is you own yourself. The right mindset that we can put in the people's heads, I already know what their answer is to any of this kind of crap before they even have to read any of it. They go, does it violate my life, liberty, property? Yep, but don't like it. Does it expand it? But like it, done. You know, it's all this Ron Paul stuff. You know, people didn't understand. That was a revolution between the ears. And people keep fighting the last war. The war is not about how we're going to regulate my freedom. The battle is get the hell out of my freaking way. And if you're not, I'm going over here. What do you think this Bernie Sanders Trump thing is all about?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, I mean, because I definitely lean more to the social issues. I love Bernie first, but I'll jump to Trump because whatever, something needs to be shaken up in that place. That place is a disaster. And if Hillary would be this place is already, look at where we're at. It's horrifying.
See, I'm not as scared of a Hillary presidency as a lot of other people. Because back in when her husband was running, I remember at the Democratic National Convention when he got the nomination and they were playing Fleetwood Mac. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. I'm going, well, yeah, it's a new generation. It's a different generation. Here they come.
It's true.
And I go,
yeah.
Can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave?
Well, look where we're at, though, 20 years later. After
police state. Police state.
That's what I'm talking about. So why does she get another chance? And then they'll end up trying to rub it around so they get 8 years. And then he gets to, I mean, he's practically dead.
No, it's a big, you know who's the greatest recruiter of anarchist, libertarian, voluntarist, leave me aloneist? You know who's the best recruiter? The government. And I love having, if you're going to have a recruiter, man, put them, it's like Sheriff Arpaio. It used to be, you know, Sheriff Ben, you know, he's with the wind. But the thing is that one thing you liked about Sheriff Arpaio, he's a poster child for the man, but when he starts getting real heavy pressure, he was very quick to be populist. Oh, no, I just enforced the law, but I'm kind of over. And I've been remember seeing him at an event on in Fountain Hills about trash cans being, you know, from the private sector going in the waste management contract of the city, and you can't have your own private whatever. And he lives there. So he came in, and he goes, now, what side am I on? what am I supposed to argue? Where's the biggest number? Okay, I'm good for that. Yeah, freedom! I mean, you know, this is Joe. He's a political machine.
And have you ever met him and talked to him at all?
Constantly. I debated him live on television. I'm on his speed dial. I got his cell number. I mean, we're buds, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I called him in court one day. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I got a few minutes. I'm like, holy shit. This is a lot. Yeah. No, I don't know. I kind of like the guy, I have to say. Yeah, I don't, you know, obviously know all the details of everything.
He and I get along fine, but it's because we understand each other. You didn't have to explain it to me. To me, you're intimidated. I go, Joe, I get it. You're Lord God King Bufu of all your survey, and all this threat about you're going to someday run for governor is all bullshit because you would never give up the power you have as sheriff.
No. He's got it all in his hands right there. He's riding high. And he'll get another term, I'm sure. You know, I don't know.
You know, have you seen him recently?
The last one I saw was about, October.
Okay, well, that's, you know, he's been pretty good by then.
He looks great.
He looked great.
He says he's got the numbers of a 60-year-old, like, you know, the physical doctor.
Well, I think it was alcohol. I mean, I think he was just
got off the sauce.
Yeah, I think that was it, because he looked like, the red nose kind of thing was going on. He wasn't looking too well.
It's not good for any of us. That's why we need more marijuana.
Yeah, he didn't. Go! Did you switch? Good for you. So
that's
this,
right.
So lately, I mean, he looks a lot healthier. He's a lot brighter. He's a lot happier. He's a lot, you know, smarter, you know, quicker in wit.
He really is. I saw improvement in
we got Joe back. Oh, I know what he did. I've seen this before in people.
What's that?
Stem cells.
Oh,
I'll bet you he did. That's exactly what I saw. When people did, well, certainly getting off alcohol help. But, I've seen this. I go, that's what, you know, now that I think about it.
I don't know. I think, you know, because he's a pro-life guy. I don't know. They do those.
Oh, well, they don't do stem cells from fetuses and stuff anymore. They just use your skin cells and stuff.
Interesting. But,
I'm
sure he'll do anything he can to keep.
You go to Panama for $10,000-$15,000. It's only $400 if it's a horse. But if you go for $10,000-$15,000 over a few day period, you get stem cell treatment. I have people all of a sudden their hair darkens up. They look younger. They lose 10 years in a year or two.
Me.
No, I've seen the people I know have gone for 3 treatments. All of a sudden, they're freaking teenagers. I'm telling you,
that's
wild. And that's the dramatic difference that I saw in Joe. I've seen this before. You know, these guys with money, because they can't. But I'm going, wow, he really looked a lot better. So we might get another full one or two more forever terms out of him. He's been sheriff since 92.
Yep.
He was at 23 years. Oh, my God.
As long as I've been in Arizona. I came to Arizona in 92.
Oh, no. When he first in 92, I was on his Rolodex, man. He was calling me like every week.
Oh, man.
Because I was representative of the third party independent kind, and they knew. At the time, when I had my lawsuits and all this kind of different stuff, this is what was going on. 14% of the people at the time were registered other than Republican or Democrat. But they made up 30% of the people that actually voted in the general election. So if you didn't have this independent, you know, vote third party kind of thing sewed up, you know, that was the kingmaker of the whole thing. Well, now the voter registration is... All these data points are just demonstrate how pissed off everybody is at this whole freaking thing. Joe is a populist. You know, he is just, you know, how many dog abusers do I got to arrest to get up a couple more points? I mean, he doesn't care. It's just a thing with him. You know, he doesn't even do the pussy posse thing of the hookers on Van Buren anymore. He's not, you know, instead of going and doing that, which everybody's like, who gives a crap? It's all of a sudden now it's the posse at the malls for Christmas. And I love me some whatever. But before, I remember... When he first became sheriff, this is why I debated him live on television with Sam Steiger as the moderator. Okay, so this was entertainment.
That's fun. Yeah.
Now, what his thing was when he first became sheriff and why him and Romley went at it, the county attorney, was he goes, I'm going to put a dome over Maricopa County. Nothing comes in, nothing goes out without me inspecting. We're going to pull over cars and profile and looking at whatever. They go, and Romley freaked out. That's unconstitutional. You can't do that. What was he doing? They, you know, somebody will go, hey, Mr. Law Enforcement Man, you know, my neighbor over here is selling drugs. You need to go get them. Well, selective, they go after the people that were violating their market or something. They were using law enforcement. Well, he's ex-DEA. He knew how this, he's, you know, protecting the freaking flow of whatever. That's where he came from. DEA,
right.
There was a guy that wrote a book called The Great White Lie or something. It was about the DEA and CIA working together in Central America and the cocaine of whatever the hell. And he writes this book. Arpaio is the one that was targeted to go on the Sunday morning talk show host. Oh, he's a disgruntled employee and doesn't know anything, and I'm D, and I'm kind of, he was their boy. So when he retires, who's the, where do they go? Janet Napolitano, Sheriff Arpaio, Democrat, Republican, hi, and we need to get control Arizona, okay? So here comes Arpaio, Arizona. I got to know him well back in 92. Well, the thing is that as he goes in, he starts using the posse, which was, you know, real popular out of Sun City thing. He had the citizens' posse, sheriff's posse. Well, he's deputizing everybody, and he's gonna give me a badge. I'll make you supreme commander of the whatever. And I go, yeah, I'm Grand Imperial Wizard of whatever I survey right now. I ain't gonna take a demotion. I don't want you know gonna screw you. So then he gets all pissed off. We used to be at the same radio station in KFNX.
You're in posse. You live in posse territory, don't you? Or are you in Glendale?
I'm right at 51st at Greenway. My address is Glendale, but I'm really in Phoenix. But
okay. I was thinking maybe you were under posse jurisdiction.
No. Well, he'd like to have you be. But you know, so what happened was this posse, what he was using as manpower for their stops, and they were doing it a lot in Levine, and they were kind of in the unincorporated areas. They were going out and kind of stretching their thing. Well, what happened? In the mid-90s, you started having the Phoenix Police Department was hassling South Phoenix enough that they started shooting at them with rifles. Remember, police were getting shot and they're blowing off their ankles, or, you know, they had a stop and they're getting shot and shot and shot. In Levine, they were shooting at the deputies too. They're out there hassling the people out there. So this is becoming a thing. Symington's like, you know, in the city of Phoenix, yeah, we're going to bring out the National Guard and M16s. Arpaio goes, no, we're not. We're going to bring out the Sheriff's Department. We're going to competing guns. And they never even talked to the city of Phoenix or the police chief or what they wanted or anything. It was a battle between Symington and Arpaio. So then we go and debate the use of what my debate with him was over was the use of the posse to help him with his drug war. And I'm going, why aren't you going after, like, we're number one in auto theft? How come you're not using the resources for something like that or helping people?
Kidnapping, too.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of shit.
High in kidnapping, yeah.
You know, so they were like, nah, not sexy enough, not enough guns. Drug war. South Phoenix. Show of force. I'm bigger, badder than you are. So, no, you're not. I got, you know, and this is what stopped it. When we were doing debating whether they should have posse doing the drug war and all that kind of crap, and he was making one argument that up on the I-40, going from Arizona to California, they were stopping people, just, you know, profiling or whatever. And he goes, well, they're doing it up there. How come I can't do it? You know, so all this issue came out. So this is how we stopped it. When I'm right before we go on the debate, and I go, yeah, Joe, man, we got, oh, this is awesome. I go, yeah, you support it. I go, oh, no, this is what's going to happen. We got friends, you know, that at the gun shows, they deal in World War II paraphernalia. You know, it's like Nazi hats and uniforms and, you know, they got German Shepherd to go around playing Nazi or something, right? So, or selling the stuff. So we talk to them and we wonder if we could get a few uniforms and so on. We could do this. We want to go in South Phoenix and we're going to have signs that say Joe's Jerry's, Kristallnacht 2, okay, that you're invading. I go, oh, yeah, Joe's Jerry's, man. You're going to, you know, be goose-stepping around. Oh, we're going to go, we're Joe's Jerry's. The second they knew we were going to do that, the whole issue just went away. They're going, you know what? That is not going to work out for us. Why? Because we were making fun of what they're doing, the police state occupation thing in South Phoenix. M16's on the corner at your 7-Eleven. And I'm going, are you sure you guys want to do this? Well, they knew the libertarians were going to be buttheads about it, so they backed off, and the whole issue went away. Well, I know Joe well. He knows me. When he was at Mark Victor was doing a radio show in Scottsdale, and Sheriff Joe was there on the show, and me and some other friends went to meet Mark. We're going to dinner later. Well, we knew Sheriff was going to be there. Well, I always have a little Kel-Tec 9, you know, that I have in my pocket or my, you know, belt, whatever, you know, I carry. And usually I go, yeah, I just leave it here. Well, I go, ah, Joe's there. Oh, hell yeah, I'm putting it in my pocket. And I have, you know, a clip where you can see it. We see Joe go by his deputies, a couple of guys there, and word up, you know, slapping. I got a picture taken of me standing with the gun in my pocket, and Sheriff Arpaio goes, Ernie, is that a gun in your pocket? And I go, no, I'm just happy to see you. I know Joe, okay?
That's great.
So this
That's
is,
hysterical.
But I do like him. I just like him. God, there's no reason, really. I mean, he's
Everybody
not a freedom guy.
Everybody I know that has actually spent any time with him likes him. And I have tried, and I even asked Mark Bitzer, and he gave me some reasons to hate him, you know. But they were just so, to me, it felt like part of his job description, quite honestly. And I just, I don't know. I don't get the hate. I like him.
No, he's threatened me. There's been, you know, he wanted to explain it to me. You know, we're going to take, when we really, we did an initiative at the turn of the century, of the millennia, because we knew he was going to use his tank, his mobile artillery thing, that he was...
But that was donated, you know.
I don't give a shit! He's got a freaking tank! You know, he agreed that I could go and make sure that the firing pin of it, that it was decommissioned enough that the gun could never be used.
What is it really? Do they use it for law enforcement? Or is it just for show?
It was, well, they used it. They used it for burying. They put a 50 on the back of it, and they've been using it to kind of crash in, but now they got MRAP and all this other stuff. He was one of the first ones that had black helicopters with FLIR technology, forward-looking infrared, and, oh, yeah, so we can look for lost hikers. Yeah, that's it. And then the mobile artillery piece. Well, we found out that he had it when they first got it, and they were down on Grand somewhere painting it. Well, somebody informed him, hey, he's got a freaking treaded. He got tank. And I go, say it ain't so, Joe. I just called him up and said, say it ain't so. What the hell are you doing with a tank? Well, that's when we did a pact to run constitutional sheriff, you know, for person for sheriff thing that we did at the turn of the millennium, because when it was the new party, like it's 1999, he had that tank, that mobile artillery M109, whatever it is, he had it on Mill and University in the middle of the street. Yeah, ain't nobody gonna do nothing now. They were looking for an opportunity to use it. It was later that it became a DARE tank, okay? Before it was, we're going to use it and go get some. Well, then it kind of became a DARE thing, you know, the DARE to...
Yeah, the drug, anti-drug, like the drug ban.
Let the little children climb on it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought it was just.
Now, that's
for.
How it got morphed into a more PC version of it, okay? They still use it. Then they added a 50 caliber on it. Then they had... Steven Seagal, you know, riding in it when they raided some chicken fighting guy or something, you know, and they made it, so that was a big joke. Well, now they got to where he was the first. This is when they started militarizing the multi-jurisdictional task forces and all that crap in the late 90s. After 9/11, then it became fusion centers and all. And now they just here have some freaking military give you a Cobra helicopter. I mean, so I'm just going, wow, he was the beginning of it. And all this new, there's a whole, I got 15 gazillion Joe stories, but he would call, like when I have my restaurant, he says, yeah, well, yeah, what are you going to do when we park it in front of your store and we just aim that gun at the front? You know, I go, oh, I got sign maker guys. I'll just put Bill of Rights. Void where prohibited by Joe. And I'll put a little bullseye there for you. You know, I mean, bring it on. Okay? So he and I go back and forth, and it's things like, yeah, that brass cannon of yours, and you gotta keep that polished. And I go, yeah, what makes you think I keep it here? You know, I'm gonna, Joe, I get it, man. You know, because he's used to dealing with Central South America. It's how they controlled down there. The DEA was just part of the CIA of the U.S. government of we're going to get and the orders come down of how we're going to the locals of whatever. Well,
right.
He does that here. He had one guy that ran against him for sheriff, or he just did a pack. We were thinking about a libertarian friend. He come to my restaurant looking for him. They had detectives go into his house, leaving their car. They insisted on talking with him. Why? Because he was cousin of Randy Weaver from Ruby Ridge is what gave him all kinds of the story. And they just went, oh, everybody's trying to kill me. Okay? And I go, yeah, well, it's probably not going to be a libertarian on the ballot, all right? So I'm just going, this is, I know Joe, but he knows us. And he's kind of got, we got this detente of just, you know, look, just don't be a dick, you know, and we can be fine. So he's hid behind the law. He's like, hey, man, what's the law say? And public opinion, where's my wet finger, you know? So I can understand why you work. He's fun to deal with and everything, but don't ever think that his position and him being there is not part of it. Goes way back to the boys at, you know, Langley and DEA and DC of whatever he's connected. And this is how, when Janet Napolitano was U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney under Reno and Clinton, They're going after Joe about the prisons and all this other stuff. Well, the negotiating of him not running for governor, like that was a real threat, and him being nice and kind of semi-supporting and not being a butthead with Janet Napolitano was the negotiation on his autonomy in the prison system. There's a whole bunch of going back into money in the bologna sandwiches of a year in a tent city. There's a whole bunch of this stuff. That, and a lot of your marijuana guys, I smoked a joint in 120-degree weather outside in tent city, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
While the murderers and rapists are in air conditioning.
This is the turmoil. And this is what I felt with this opportunity to be able to talk to him about this could, you know, down the line, there's a lot of other things that we could solve in Arizona as activists, as people that encourage people to speak out, because we've got a lot of problems here, you know, and more than other places that we could really, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of good we could do. That's what I think.
Yeah, if we can get, you know, Joe to see the popular, because that's what really drives him, you know, the real benefit to him is just money made on kind of, you know, pink underwear or something. I mean, you know, there's always something going on.
I don't think they get money. They've got a 15% revenue thing. It's supposed to stream right to the teachers. That's where that stream is supposed to go. So where they get paid, I don't know. Where they get, you know, they get their tax dollars back from not having to have people who arrest people for marijuana, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that marijuana is the biggest seizure across our border nationally.
Yeah.
And for them to let go of that is like, you know, pulling...
he's got other issues. I mean, you know, Arpaio has been attacked for... I mean, God, it's hundreds of millions of dollars that they've had to pay out in damages for all kinds of crap. You know, they do killing prisoners, doing all kinds of violations of the federal government of immigrant. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And even, oh, I can't believe he's getting away with this. He had his private detectives researching the judge and the judge's wife that was adjudicating on his case of what. I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe you get away with this stuff.
I thought that would be the one he wouldn't get away with.
He knows where the skeletons are. He's a made man.
There he is. Yep. I think you just hit it on
the head. He's a made guy. You know, I go, Sheriff, look, chill, man. I get it. You're the most powerful guy in the universe. I understand. I don't care. Can't we just be buds? You know, he did call me, when was it? It was probably 07. It was for the 08 election, I think. Was that when the governor, was it 6 or 7? It was a sheriff race. There was a threat that I might run for sheriff. And it was twice that this has happened. And he's like freaked. He called me and he goes, Ernie. I mean, just as a solid, he's like, I really think he was genuine. You know, he goes, Ernie, you don't want to do that. And I go, what up, man? You know, what do you care? And he's like, no, I mean, you don't want to do that. And I think he was being genuine. I think he was the one. He goes, man, they are going to, it's out of my control. I am not really in charge of my guy. This is, you know, the opposition of the Republican, of the, you know, the boys that put me here. Kind of, you know, I got the impression that he's warning me off as a favor.
Oh, man.
That they were going, man, Ernie, I just want to tell you. And I'm going, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And there was a woman that, you know, decided to do it. And she was, you know, not a threat of any. And he had to meet with her. All right, fine. So I hooked him up. He met with her. Okay, this is just a paper candidate. No thing. They're worried about something. They do not, because in when I first started doing radio in 03, it was the 04 election cycle. So, yeah, I guess it was the 08 election cycle he was talking about. So in the 04, when I started doing radio in 03, I had the morning show over at KXAM. When I started doing radio, I remember in the 90s when Howard Stern was threatening to run for governor. And he was going to win, man. Hell no. He was like going to win, but the financial disclosure requirements and him being on radio show and all that kind of stuff just made it where he decided not to do it as a libertarian. But his one campaign thing was, you know what? What the hell are we doing fixing potholes in New York City during the day? How come we can't do this at night? What the hell?
Exactly. It's just, I said the same thing about some street in Phoenix yesterday.
It's a union because they don't feel like whatever thing. So he's going, nope, that's my campaign. Fixing potholes at night. Done. He would have won. So what happened? I'm on the air, and we are number one in auto sales. Okay, I mean, in auto theft. Number one. Arizona. We're number one. We're number one. I said, you know what? What if I just ran for sheriff, and as sheriff, I just promised I just promised we'll be number two. Okay, I vote for number two. Let's go for number two. We're going to go after the range because we knew there was some stuff going. We knew how it was being who and what, and the sheriff they knew too. But it was anyway. So we're just trying to encourage. We're going to be number two. Vibe check. The second I started saying that, oh man, they got religion. They're going after them some car thieves. Okay, so this is in 08. What are they afraid of? We're going to start coming at some principal stuff. We'll bring it. There's plenty to bring up, but the left and the right, the Republicans and Democrats, are part of the same statewide, international, we rule you, whatever machine. Certainly, when you're dealing with an ex DEA guy. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, I've definitely seen that by now. And the ex-DEA, you know, he didn't have a lot of high marks for the DEA either when I talked to him.
He's a political hack.
It was kind of, you know, basically he put this in our hands and he said his hands are tied. You know, I mean, he's kind of in a spot where he would like to do more. And that's, I think, why he showed up to the thing.
Yeah, I should go.
Say he'll endorse legalization. You should call him up and tell him to go ahead and endorse it, and then I'll see him over the summer with the new statistics.
Yeah, we do the Libertarian full court press on this McCain U.S. Senate race thing. Yeah. You know, I think I'll go meet with Joe just for grins and giggles. So
yeah,
Joe,
just kind of give him a refresher on that. Yeah,
what are you gonna say, man? What's
tell
up?
Tell him how popular it is.
Yeah,
too.
What's up?
Very
what's
popular.
Up? Well, he came out in support of Trump, and this whole thing, you know, there would be no Trump if there wasn't a Ron Paul. That's
absolutely
why, because he went, he goes like this. Trump goes to the RNC when he signed this pledge and support the nominee kind of crap, if they are fair. And they knew they weren't going to be. But, you know, he goes on and he says, I'm not going to let you Ron Paul me. Because he knew what they were going to do. They're capable. He was exposing this for everybody. We've been talking to ballot act. Even there's a lot of deadlines passed, but all that's unconstitutional. The first, the Republican Party, when it first won Lincoln, they didn't even start the party until July of the election year. You know, so this is all BS. There's campaign limit. There's nothing that says you can't get. You get the signatures, whatever, and put on the ballot. What do you care? So Trump has the infrastructure. I am of the opinion. They screw him at the convention or even before. They take him at. I'm betting that he's going to run as a third independent of something kind of on the ballot, whatever thing anyway.
And I'm looking forward to that.
An entire country is just abandonment of everything traditional. But they don't control the election computers. That's where the problem is and what I've been screaming for decades.
Why, the two parties have control of the election computer in the end? Well, if it's a third-party person that uproots it, how can they fight against that? They can't, because it's something that's out of their control. It's whoever votes, they voted. They voted for Trump, they voted for him. And
what?
Good. What?
Do you need an education? You know, you have Diebold the machine.
Oh, you mean fucking with the numbers?
Yeah, they do whatever
the
hell they want.
How can they can't think? Oh, okay. So
they got election systems service. ES&S is the other competing company with Diebold that happens to be run by the guy that owns Diebold's brother.
No, I know.
Oh, I'm
I
sorry.
Know what you're talking about with that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You thought this was accurate?
So who would they stand up on the Republican side? I can see Hillary winning that way for sure. I mean, she's got it in the bag that way.
It's like I was talking to DJ from the Democrats. This is the deal. I go, if you look at the all-seeing eye pyramid on the dollar bill, kind of whatever, you got the left side and the right side. When you get towards the top, the all-seeing eye controls both sides, okay? And I go, as you get high enough, you may be talking pretty high on the left, and they're willing to throw some money because they want to get, you know, whatever the hell, and more, you know, Democrats in the U.S. Senate than Republicans, and this is our job, and they're over here. But when you start, the only way to make Kirkpatrick where she's viable in this race is there has to be a strong libertarian in there pulling at least, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10% or something. And they believe that that's the margin that's going to give it to the Democrat. I go, but what if at the top of the pyramid, the people that control both sides, what if they see as the real threat, not whether, you know, they get more Democrats or not, because they don't care anyway. Hillary's going to support whatever war over whoever the next guy is. Maybe Trump is, there's a Libertarians for Trump thing, some high-end libertarians. I mean, big economists, they are saying we should support Trump because he's less likely to get us into the Third World War. So they're all
absolutely
about, they're like you, man. They're all about practicality. I don't want to die in a freaking thermonuclear cloud, okay?
She'll put us in there. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't even want to go and rummage through other people's stuff. I don't think our people should be, you know, going through houses from house to house. They're quote-unquote terrorists.
Well, this is
breeding hate anyway. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is the point that they believe. And Rush Limbaugh come out. We do the Trump Report every Thursday, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours every Thursday. Trump Report since July. Okay. So, I mean, I'm trumped up, man. I mean, I just, they get to say, and I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. So what am I saying? I'm going, look, they will vote for Hillary before they will vote for Trump because it forwards the agenda of the eye at the top of the pyramid.
Exactly. Of course. Yes.
So what
yes,
happens? A couple of days ago, Rush Limbaugh comes out and says the same thing. All of a sudden, Ernie is a prophet then. Okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I'm going,
Limbaugh back you.
When you go to the convention and the Republican, whatever, and all that stuff just doesn't matter. They're going to do what they, them, those want. Well, everybody's going, oh, but if Hillary gets, I go, what's the difference? It doesn't make any difference because it's the economy, stupid. Everything is going to be about the dollar crashing, about, you know, the stock market going to crap, the pension funds. So what's the proposition they got? We just did in the first hour about the propositions for, you know, the second responders, you know, the police and firemen. We're the first responders. That's what Keith always says. So we go, we have firemen and police, we need to have a total redo on our retirement so we can retire with dignity, which means our McMansion of we get the triple dip of you're not making people enough money in our pensions and we just want to have the ability to change it whenever we want. We got enough. And I'm going, fine, do it, bring it on, because it's all going to come crashing down. We're going to be Illinois. So then I'm going, you know, what do you think is going to happen? There is no fixing this. The only thing that we can do is be understanding of the lies and what the truth is. And the truth is, either you own yourself or you don't. That's why this show is Declare Your Independence. The only purpose of government, the legitimate function of government, is the defense of individual rights. When they stop doing that, it is time to alter or abolish. That is the message that we try and get in people's heads. Not that this is another link in our chain, this cage is more gilded, we're got to be, you know, that is just a waste of time in a battle you have to keep fighting over and over and over. Well, support this. Oh, is that your number better than their number and your claim better than their claim? I don't care. The only claim I have is my life, my body, my property, my. Once you get people in that mindset, your job becomes so much easier on everything.
It's true, Ernie, and I'm with you on that. And you keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing. And speaking of my, I got to take my time and get to work.
Yep, I'm hip. Well, thanks,
Ernie.
It was good catching up with you. And, you know,
you
kind of,
too,
now,
Ernie.
Now you have a, you know, we know. We get it. We've been dealing with these guys for decades, and I get it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Know? I'm with you, my friend. I'm with you.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Let me know whatever you're doing. I'm behind you.
All right. Well, we want to hear. You got some new kind of whatever inside. Let me know, will you?
I will, sir. I will.
All right. Thanks,
Take
Kathy.
Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.